Good afternoon. You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, and we've been playing the lovely Lisa Hilton, composer, arranger, instrumentalist, and visionary. We're going to talk about her brand new release and some of the influences that have led her throughout her life. She's had over 200 recordings, 20 releases of her own, and good afternoon, Lisa. How are you doing?
Hey, Jay. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I missed you in New York in January when you performed at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, I know.
No, but I may catch you at the Smithsonian, though, because I know you're going to play there as well.
Oh, I hope so. I'm really excited. I'm going to have Rudy Royston, J.D. Allen, and Lucas Curtis there, so it'll be fun.
Your release is magnificent. You know, the one thing I like about you on your brand new release, Escapism, is the ability to escape from reality. Most of the world's great pieces of art, from music to film and paintings, all come from the artist's fantasies, and that definitely describes you.
Yeah.
Your early influences that have made you the person that you are, because I found out that you left piano for a while, went into art, and then came back. Is that
well, piano was my first love, Jay, and I begged my parents to buy a piano, and it was my love for many, many years. And then in college, I had a bad teacher. I realized I didn't want to be a classical musician, and I didn't really know what to do, so I just dropped out of music school, and it was a real feeling of grief and loss. But I thought, oh, I'll get an art degree, I'll be a designer, and I enjoyed those fields. But when I came back to music, I felt like I went back to my first love. It was really, really so great to come back and feel that passion again. But when I returned, I couldn't play the piano very well. So I had to kind of relearn the piano, and then I started my own composing. And every time when it gets a little bit rough, and it does sometimes, Jay, you know, jazz, sometimes it's rough. I think about what my life was like when music wasn't in my life. And it gives me the strength to follow and continue. It's a complete passion. I have my beloved piano and my composing. So I'm so appreciative when it connects with you and your audience and people around the world.
Well, I mean, your music is very soothing, and it definitely causes people to escape from some of the realities of life and to have some serenity. And I've noticed that you've had some very good inspiration. Miles Davis, how did Miles inspire you?
You know what, I'm looking at Miles Davis right now. I'm standing in my little studio, and there's a really cool picture that the photographer and writer Ken Franklin took, and I got that from my little studio, and he's staring down at me, making sure that I remember keep the soul in my music. And then up above me right now, I'm looking at Thelonious Monk. And it's a live shot from when he was performing at the Monterey Jazz Festival. And he's sweating, and so he's up there to remind me to, you know, be creative and that it's hard work. So I have these two greats at my right above my shoulder every time I'm at the piano. And they mean so much to jazz and composers as well as players. They're both great players, too. But it makes me really proud to be an American composer and that these are American composers. It's not Mozart and it's not Beethoven. We should be proud of our heritage here in our country.
Well, I mean, I've noticed that through your autobiography, you admire a lot of great musicians. Count Basie, for one.
Yeah. So my favorite quote, and, you know, it's a little exaggeration, but they said that Count Basie could make a single note swing, and so I'm always trying to see if I can make a single note swing. And, I'm still thinking about it, still trying to get that. I love that. He had a lot of simplicity and in his solos and in his writing as well, and I admire that. I really do. So any, I don't know, he was a great pianist, too. What can I say? So Monk, Miles, Count Basie, I really appreciate a lot, too. And, of course, Duke Ellington. How can you not think of him, especially compositionally, especially his work, you know, alongside of Billy Strayhorn, too, of course.
You studied a lot of the great masters in America as composers.
I am a music nerd. I love reading about composers and players. I probably have, I don't know, 100, 200 biographies in my studio that I've read. I love reading books about music.
And I'm the same way, so I guess I'm glad you said music nerd, because I thought something was wrong with me for babies. So I've got a companion.
We should swap books. We can do a little lending library here, Jay.
Yeah, definitely. We need to swap books, because I've got music, and I said, something must be wrong with me. Everybody looks at me strange, but, you know, it comes with the territory, you know.
I know. I love reading about the lives of musicians.
Right. Yeah. But you have a way of painting the lives of musicians, not only really complements art, because you were involved and had taken art, and it's all art, but you can paint your music through the art. How did you get inspired to do that?
Well, I think because I dropped out of music school, I was I think it was 18 or 19, so I didn't really have any formal training after that. So I was a good pianist, but no, I didn't have any, like, higher education, let's put it that way. And so I think that when you aren't being told how to do things, then you come up with your own solutions of how to do things. And if you do read about many other, you know, successful composers and musicians, they were not necessarily, taught in school or taught that formally. I think our weaknesses also help to lead our solutions.
Very true.
These days, I hear people remark that I've got such a strong bass line. Well, that was a reaction to my weak left hand. So I try and keep that one to myself. So let's just keep it between us, Jay.
No,
right?
But I heard both of your hands. I heard both of your hands, in not just in escapism, but definitely in nocturnal. So you're there, because I look for that. I said, they're using both hands, you know. But yeah, you know, I've heard, and I've noticed that this particular release is noticeably different from Nocturnal, you know.
Yeah.
Give me a reason, because you've got 20 different releases, and they go a lot of times in different directions instrumentally, and with composing.
Okay, well, Jay, first of all, you've got good questions, and I like it. Like that. So Nocturnal, I felt when I was working on that album that I wanted to create pieces with more depth. I never look at any old music, Jay. I always look at the greatest music in the history of jazz or anywhere. And if you look at Beethoven or if you look at Miles Davis, that music has a depth to it. It's not superficial. So on Nocturnal, I was working to create music with more depth to it. And that was just something that I was working on in, several different ways. And then on this album, I just felt that with everything going on in our world, whether it's politics or whether it's the weather, that I felt that my role as an artist was to try and bring relief. And so that would have a definitely different sound and ambiance and energy than Nocturnal, which is trying to be more in-depth. And I really feel it's a gift when you can give people a good evening, 45 minutes to enjoy music, or they go out to a theater and listen to live jazz or music. I think that's a gift that you can give people, to take their minds off of what they can't change and to learn to enjoy, not learn, but to take the moment to enjoy the good stuff that's here right now. So that's what escapism really was about. And when I was writing the music, which was last basically April through August last year, I thought to myself, I'm just going to follow this direction. It just feels right for right now. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it will really connect with people or not. You never know. And so it's been such a pleasure, almost a feeling of magic, that the music is connecting so well with people.
Well, Lisa, you have an all-star cast with you. I mean, gracious alive. I mean, Greg August on bass, Rudy Royston on drums,
yeah.
J.D. Allen on sax,
I know.
Terrell Stafford, who will be in Atlanta this week, on trumpet. So, I mean, these guys, as they would say, rock.
Hey, can we talk about them? I love talking about the band.
Sure.
So, Greg, that plays the bass, he has a master's degree from Juilliard. He can play anything. And, in fact, he can do some things on the bass I've never heard anybody else do. So we'll be in the studio and I'll hear something. But, you know, we're recording. I can't, like, stick my head up and say, Greg, what the heck did you do? So he can play anything. He plays Latin music. He plays jazz. He plays new music. He's really, really well-skilled. And Rudy on drums, Rudy Royston, he has, again, a huge vocabulary. So it really helps with music like mine that kind of has a broad vocabulary, too. It goes from blues to more even some pop influences as well as, you know, straight ahead jazz. So I think that is very helpful. And in addition, he's just a really, really nice guy too, besides being an incredible player. Terrell, I have worked with a few trumpeters, and Terrell is just this huge towering spirit.
Definitely.
He really is. He has a beautiful sound to his trumpet. He's very entertaining as a person too. It's really fun to be in the studio with him. And J.D. Allen, I have worked with for many, many years. We've toured. We've done lots of recording together. And I believe he is the tenor of our time. That's how I feel, and I'm going to stand by that. I think that he's an incredible tenor player. He's an incredible person and a spirit. I think you hear that in his music as well. And I've been really lucky to play with him, and by now he says I'm part of the family, and he calls me sis. So I just feel really, really fortunate. I'm always pinching myself when I am in the studio, but it's a great honor, and it was at first very intimidating, but now I feel that there's a mutual respect. So.
Well, I'd just like to congratulate you not only on your musical career, but with a group that really brings the meaning that music is the universal language of humanity. And you take it to that level.
Thank you.
As a composer, arranger, band leader, you know, this month is Women's History Month, and past week was, a few days ago, was International Women's Day. But my belief is always every day is International Women's Day, because people like you nurture the world, and you definitely nurture it through your music.
That's so kind. That's why you're my new best friend here.
New best. You know,
well,
we missed each other a couple of times last year trying to get an interview.
I know. Well, I was thinking today about Lil Hardin, who was Louis Armstrong. I think it was his first wife.
Second wife.
You know, she was like a badass before her time. She
right.
was beautiful, smart, educated. She played classical piano. She was a band leader, composer. And we have all these books that have been written about Louis Armstrong, and rightfully so. And I don't think there's any books that were written about Little Hardin.
Well, not a book, but there's been several articles on her influence on him.
When I play, I think of those shoulders that I stand upon, and I'm thankful that women are being spoken of more now, but I also think of Lil Hardin, too, and I think that we're all a part of the conversation, and I always believe the best way in life is to have a kaleidoscope that if you were to look through the kaleidoscope and you didn't see, and all you saw were like red squares or yellow triangles, it wouldn't be beautiful. So I think in my life, I try and always be creating a kaleidoscope in my life, in my music, and, you know, how I try and walk is that it's through variety that we really see the beauty of our world.
You know, I just want to thank you so much for gracing the audience of WCLK and Jazz Tones, because you bring a sense of spirit through your music, and with these, your collaboration with these great musicians, you keep moving higher, higher up on the ladder in many, many ways with your skills. You know, sometimes as we continually evolve through humanity, and we tap into our potential, we're able to really bring ourselves out and let people hear what our artistry are about. So you're at the top of the list.
Oh, thank you so much, Jay. Listen, that was such a so complimentary. So we really appreciate your encouragement and support. We really do.
Oh, well, I can't wait to see you live. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Hilton, her brand new releases Escapism, but don't stop there. She has over 200 recordings and 20 individual releases, so you know you have to really get into the depths of her music, and that way you can really feel the spirit of herself and the band. I'd like to thank you once again. Any closing remarks for the audience?
Oh, well, thank you. I feel overwhelmed. That was so nice. I think we all could use a little escapism right now. So I think that perhaps we have a good name for the album. And I think I'm going to close with that. But I am thinking about the next one, Jay, right now. I will start my composing season in just probably another week or so.
Well, not only do I wish you the best, I know that you will continue to inspire everyone through your music and continue to uplift the spirits of everyone. I just want to thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Hilton, a great pianist, composer, arranger, and an instrument that continues to bring great music to the forefront. And I would have to say to you personally, non-commercially, because you bring an artistic value sometimes that's lost in the music business. And thank you very much. Hold on, Lisa. I just want to just hold on for a minute. I'll just talk to you in 1 second.
Okay.
You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK. We just had an opportunity to speak to Lisa Hilton on Jazz Tones, and her new release is Escapism.